Typhoid Mary is the new play by Mark St. Germain, now at Barrington Stage Company's St. Germain Stage through June 16th. It is the true story of Mary Mowen, better known as Typhoid Mary. As one of the most infamous women in America, she was an incredibly stubborn, ambitious, and fierce in denial of any wrongdoing. The drama captures the controversy surrounding Mary and her steadfast conviction in her beliefs. Mark St. Germain has captured the woman behind the mist while exploring the battle between science and religion. It is one of two plays he currently has up this season, the other at Penguin Rep in Stony Point, New York, a play entitled Relativity. We talked to Mark St. Germain about both and welcome him to the roundtable. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir. Thank you very much.
Joe. I appreciate you having me. Good to be back.
What brought you to the life of Mary Mowen, better known as Typhoid Mary?
Well, it was a bit of a circuitous route. Going back years now, in the days pre-internet even, there was a story about, during the AIDS crisis, a man in a hospital in Miami. He had AIDS. He was let out on a pass on weekends, and the doctors found out he was infecting people in the community. So this caused an upcry. People didn't know whether he should be confined, aka jailed in the hospital, and how they really should handle it. And it brought to mind, my mind, the case of Mary Mallon, Typhoid Mary, who had the same situation, that she was arrested after many people, after several people died and many got ill as she traveled from house to house cooking. She was then put on North Brother Island hospital there and not let off until she sued to be released.
The stubbornness of this woman and the ambition of this woman is really quite incredible.
It is. She decided she was going to see the world as she wanted to, and that science was almost a personal belief, that she did not need to believe it, and she didn't need a microscope, in her words, to see stupidity. And she didn't understand why, if she made these people sick and for some people to die, why she wasn't sick herself. And no matter how many times they explained that there are people who are carriers who can carry the disease but don't have it themselves, don't suffer from it, she just didn't want to believe it. And on the reverse side, the doctors or the hospital, the health department, knowing that it was bad publicity to get back in the newspapers again with another trial, decided they were going to look at the possibility that she would learn and she would sign a contract and agree to come back to the hospital for checkups and agree to follow, not cook again, and follow health procedures. They said this is what they will go with, even though I'm sure many of them thought it was impossible that this would happen. And it was true that she ended up leaving and not coming back.
She was born in Northern Ireland. What brought her to the United States?
No one really knows. There's not a lot of research on her. I know when I started researching it, I would have to go into the New York Public Library and just pull old periodicals and some newspapers from that time. But she really was very quiet about herself. She did not want to be known. She didn't want to be in the public eye. She felt she was just mocked for it. And she was very reclusive.
So at what point does she come down with typhoid fever?
Well, no one knows because she's a carrier. I mean, all you can trace it, she'd had it by the first time, say, she was cooking at a house, and several people became ill, and she decided to leave, and then this happened again at the next house, and it happened at the next. And finally, there was a man, George Soper, who was really, his profession was sanitary engineer, who took an interest in this and trying to find this woman and find if she was infecting people. And they had to track her down and then send the police to drag her in to the health department because she didn't want to go.
The numbers that we hear is that she infected 51 people, three of whom died. That is a presumption, but we don't really know, right?
No, there's no way to really tell. That's a guess, and that's only the places they know she worked. She would change her name often, so it was impossible to get an accurate tally.
The first quarantine came in 1907, lasted 3 years from the New York City Health Department. How was she released and then ultimately went back?
Well, that's really the question the play explores. And it's also an exploration, and I think it's relevant in this time, of reality versus non-reality, truth versus falsehoods. The health commissioner, for instance, says that they're going to let her go where she will reform, and the doctor terms that a potential truth. And so they gambled letting her out, and there is no description of the process at all. She had a lawyer when she sued to get out, but they turned that down. So when they finally released her 3 years later, it was probably a matter of politics and policy as much as health care.
The play, as I mentioned in the introduction, explores the battle between science and religion. Talk a little bit about the religious aspect to this story.
Well, she did have a priest who visited her from a church in Brooklyn. And again, there's no account of what they spoke about. But both of them were able to back up what they believed, even though it was totally contradictory from the Bible. And Mary was able to point at passages in the Bible where the Lord cured most, not all, that God would destroy people, that he would send the angels with plagues to destroy the earth. And so Mary could use a variety of arguments. Well, if these germs are creatures of God, just like a house cat is, well, how do we know if God loves all his creatures that he doesn't love germs more? Mm. And germs could be his emissary. She could be his vehicle for taking people from the earth that God didn't want there. And you can talk then, of course, from the other side, that God doesn't want people to die, and God is love, and God is mercy, and Mary was ready with arguments for it.
Typhoid Mary is at Barrington Stages, St. Germain Stage, through the 16th of June. We should mention that it's a busy time for you because you also have the play Relativity, which is your play that is at the Penguin Rep Theater in Stony Point, New York. Give us a sense of how Relativity came about, of course, about Albert Einstein.
Yes, it's a really fascinating story that no one knew about until Einstein was dead and they were able to look in his letters when they discovered that Einstein and his wife Mileva had a baby girl right before they were married, actually. And the girl lived till at least 2 years old, where they have correspondence about her, and then she was never mentioned again. So no one knows what happened to the daughter. No one knows, did she die of a fever? She had scarlet fever at one point, or did she live? And if you look through the opinions of different Einstein experts, it's amazing that everybody has a different view. Some believe that she died. Some believe she grew up in California, never knowing who her parents were. Some believe she went into a nunnery. And Michelle Zackheim wrote a fascinating book called Einstein's Daughter, where she tries to track down through the different branches of the Einstein family the truth. But I'll leave her discovery to the book. But the play is an exploration of that, and it's an exploration about relatives, relativity, and what makes a great man. Does a great man have to be a good man? And Einstein is not the cuddly, white-haired grandfather we read about.
Hmm. Do you always have these ideas? And I sort of think of either whether it be a notepad on your computer or scraps of paper of the just an accumulating list of subjects that are possibilities.
I wish I could say I did. I've actually started to run out of things. It just has to grab you in a way. And when you hear about something like, why didn't Einstein ever mention he had a daughter, it becomes a mystery. Why did Mary get let go, and then why did she come back again after cooking? It's a mystery. So I'm intrigued by it, and I want to find the answer to it. And so it's either a situation that ends up intriguing me or a person like Dr. Ruth who intrigued me. There's really no set pattern to it. I wish I did have a five-page list of future plays and ideas, but I don't.
The other thing that's so interesting about Typhoid Mary, I mean, that, of course, is the name of the play, but we know that term, but certainly may not know its derivation.
Yes. I would imagine if you asked 100 people who Typhoid Mary is, that half the people wouldn't know the term or the name at all, and half of them would probably think she's fictional. It's a name that's made up.
So for you to bring it to life, it was, did she become real to you in that process?
She did. It's a strange thing. I think any writer will tell you when they're trying to create a character or get inside a character's head, you really have to force yourself to believe that the character is right. And otherwise, you just have straw villains and straw heroes. But Mary believed she was right, and if she didn't, the play wouldn't be worth it. You have to try to think like you imagine she would. So it was fascinating to do that.
Typhoid Mary is the new play by Mark St. Germain. It is on the St. Germain stage at Barrington Stage Company in Pittsfield through June 16th. You can find out more information by going to barringtonstageco.org, barringtonstageco.org. Also, his play Relativity is at the Penguin Rep through the 10th of June, and you can find out more information about their work by going to penguinrep.org. Mark St. Germain, always a pleasure to speak with you. Good luck with both of the plays, and thank you very much for spending time with us.
No, thank you, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.